I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Last week, I got a press release in the email announcing that 15 young PhD students were to receive scholarships from the Trudeau Foundation. The scholars will be using the funding to advance research on crucial topics. One subject that one of the scholars is pursuing intrigued me, and not just because I'm a second-generation Filipino-Canadian. Mark Lawrence Santiago, a PhD student in the Department of Geography at the University of British Columbia, will be looking at contributing to improved policies towards the ethical and sustainable recruitment of Filipino health workers in Canada. Mr. Santiago has graciously taken time out of a busy schedule to talk to us today. We'll discuss his work, his forthcoming research, this scholarship, and how we're doing in this country. The working title of his work is Made for Canada, Product of the Philippines, Global Nurse Migrations and the Geopolitics of Global Justice. He studied philosophy at the National University of Singapore, where he was a research scholar, and at the Ateneo de Manila University. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Lawrence Santiago. Good morning, Mr. Santiago.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Very well, yourself.
Yeah, very good.
Before we get into the actual research, I'm interested in your background. Where were you born?
Oh, I was born in Malolo City, the seat of the first Philippine Republic in the province of Bulacan in the Philippines. And yeah, I grew up there.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school for my secondary education at this a small boys' school called Immaculate Conception School in Bulacan, and then I went to Ateneo de Manila University for my university degree in philosophy, and then I went straight to the National University of Singapore where I did a master's degree as well in philosophy, and and then now I'm currently a PhD student in the Department of Geography here at UBC.
How did you end up in Vancouver?
I applied and got accepted in a number of graduate schools in the U.S. and in Canada, and I was thinking, where should I go for my PhD and what subject should I do it in? And for some time, I was really convinced that philosophy is a good preparation for anything, but as an end of itself, I wasn't too confident that I would be able to contribute to a number of, practical questions that most people ask if I continue my PhD in philosophy. So I decided to shift to another discipline, geography, and UBC is one of the best in this field, and there's so many distinguished scholars working in my department that I just want to work with. So among the schools that I got into, I decided to go to UBC, and what a fantastic place. I mean, it's just, I'm now at the 11th floor of the Buchanan Tower, and I can see the ocean, the mountains. It's just a very, very good place to study.
Now, I'm wondering how you came to this line of research, like, why this subject?
Oh, yeah. Basically, I went to geography because I wanted to pursue a question in applied ethics, in philosophy, relating to the ethics of migration, specifically a question of, I think, a very thorny question in political theory on global justice. And then I thought, there are many ways to pursue this, and one way to pursue this question is to ask the question empirically, how do we basically see, and how does basically global justice work on the ground? And I was thinking of many, many case studies that I could use to sort of think about this question empirically, and one of the cases that were brought upon to me was the case of health worker migration. I was taking a class in the Department of Geography, a graduate class, with Professor Dan Hebert, who's the head of Metropolis BC, and I basically submitted a number of drafts to him on my research paper for that class, and we kept on being frustrated and on the ideas that I stumbled into. Then finally, I thought, there's a recent phenomena of health workers from the Philippines being recruited by many countries in the world, Canada being one of them, and I thought, why don't I write something about that? So I wrote a paper about that, and it's a subject that's not only theoretically interesting for me, but something that's very practical, because I come from the Philippines, and I saw from the ground how people were being recruited, and how basically the recruitment of health workers affects the daily lives of the people who need healthcare services. This phenomena is just mind-blowing.
So you're saying that in the Philippines there is a great need of healthcare workers there?
It's actually tricky, because in the Philippines there's a surplus of healthcare workers, but of a particular kind. There's a surplus of nurses. Most of the nurses can't find jobs in the Philippines. I mean, there's the domestic labor market is just too tight. But there's a kind of a cycle that we're in. Most doctors were, you know, basically people with medical degrees retrain to become nurses so that they can enter the sort of the global nursing market, so that they can use their nursing degrees to get out of the Philippines. So most of the doctors who were, you know, doctors for 5 years, 10 years, get another degree in nursing, sort of downgrade. Not really downgrade, it's kind of a tricky process, because on the one hand, you can look at it as a downgrading. I mean, a medical degree holder that becomes a nurse. But on the other, for most of them, it becomes a ticket to get out of the Philippines and get a better wage, better salary, so that they can, you know, provide for their families. And there are very clear ethical dilemmas that the nurses face in this situation, and the medical doctors face in this situation. And I thought it's very important to think about sort of the implications of this in the community level, where I can speak to this issue for myself, because when I came back after a few years in Singapore, studying in Singapore, I returned to my barangay, which is basically a village unit in the Philippines, and I discovered that the only doctor in the small village where I come from has left the country to work in San Francisco as a nurse. And I was just asking everyone, so who do you go to now for a consultation? And, you know, the default answer would be some midwives or like some registered nurses, but we don't have a town doctor. So it has a very palpable effect. And so I thought, on a micro level, on a micro scale, a lot of changes are happening. So I thought, why won't I think about it on a sort of macro scale? And when I went to UBC, it had all those images and it had all those like observations in my mind, and I thought this would be my research project. I would want to think about the effects of migration, particularly the migration of healthcare workers to the Philippines, but at the same time look at it from a more global perspective. Ask people around Canada what they think about the issue. So now I'm about to embark on my sort of field work and make more observations by doing a lot of interviews, looking at available databases that already existing, and improve some of the data available for us to think about how to improve the policies.
You've got a busy 4 years ahead of you. I've read your paper.
Yeah.
You'll travel all over the place. Some of the places that you'll go to are where?
Most immediately, well, I'll be going to Singapore in the next while, but after I return from Singapore, I'll be defending the proposal that I sent to you, and then after that, I'll be going straight to Saskatoon, where basically I am interviewing a couple, probably about 20 to 30 Philippine-trained nurses who were recently recruited by the Saskatoon Health Authority. And then after that, I'm going to the Philippines to actually interview the labor recruiters, people working for the Department of Health, and all the other kind of migration state agencies that are helping to make this possible. At the same time, look at the local level at how nurses are produced. I'm going to talk to health administrators, nursing educators, and then I'm going to go to Winnipeg, which is a home to many, many Filipinos in Canada, and has the longest history of Filipino migration in Canada, and sort of look at the same question, but understand it in the context of a longer history of migration to a specific city and to a specific province. So basically, my project in Canadian terms covers Western Canada. I hope to interview other policymakers also from Alberta and British Columbia. But the major kind of areas that I'll be looking at will be Saskatchewan and Manitoba.
Now, in Saskatoon, you have a friend there named Jose. That's not his real name.
Yeah.
He's a nurse.
Yeah.
What is this? Is there a program where he studies in the Philippines and then he automatically goes to Saskatoon? And who promotes that? Is that the Canadian government that does that?
No, this is tricky because it's funny because I wrote in my proposal that I'd be living with him and some of his friends and do some ethnographic observation on the ground. Basically, these nurses are, you know, they enter nursing colleges and they finish their 4-year nursing degree. Only after that, then they decide where they want to go. So basically, they try to take the exams for them to train and to practice in the States or in Canada. But the Canadian exams can only be taken in Canada. So, but they can take the U.S. exams in the Philippines. So most of them already have passed the U.S. Regulatory exams. And then after that, I would have to say that it's not, you know, the kind of decision-making that they go through is more complicated than we think. Because these nurses have a lot of options. They can go to Canada, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, UAE, Singapore, Libya, other places. What happens here, and this is what I'm very interested in looking at, is that Canada is sort of intervening by putting up a program wherein the nurses are recruited as nurses, but at the same time, they are automatically, they go through the process of gaining permanent residency to Saskatoon and Saskatchewan as well. And this recruitment process, I think, was very thoughtful, and the reason why I thought of doing this as a thesis is because there were already ethical guidelines basically guide the recruitment process. For one, Canada does not want, in this case, Saskatchewan does not want to affect the healthcare system in the Philippines adversely, so they try to partner with local institutions in the Philippines, sort of help them gain new access to technology, at the same time build new projects, and these are parts of the things that I'll be looking at on the ground. So there's a recruitment team that goes from Saskatoon to the Philippines, stays there for about, say, 10 days, and then recruits the nurses, but these nurses are already pre-recruited by an assigned or at the same time a stamped kind of labor recruiter from the Philippine side. And the recruitment process is guided by a bilateral agreement that was signed between the province of Saskatchewan and the government of the Philippines. So there are sort of, how would I say this? There are agreements that are in place signed between governments that sort of reigns over the process of migration. So it's not like, okay, I want to be going to Saskatoon instead. That's easy. There are certain structures that were in place that allows for this movement. And this is precisely these are precisely the structures that I want to clarify and sort of think about the possibility of making the Philippines and Canada as global models for the recruitment of healthcare workers.
Now, in the United States, and you mentioned some other countries like Saudi Arabia, are they not looking, those countries, at the ethical implications to the Philippines?
Oh, they're looking. They're looking at the ethical implications to the Philippines. But what distinguishes Canada is they are very, very active, and they're very, very keen on actually monitoring the effects on the ground. So I think what my role as a researcher is to give feedback to both the Philippines and in Canada on how this system is actually working or is not working from the level of the individuals who are moving, because there might be, like, you know, ethical guidelines that are set, but these guidelines are basically set in paper, so we don't know what the effects are on the ground. So what I think I will do is try to interview these nurses and ask them and to reflect about sort of the more societal implications of their movements, because most of us move from one border to another, of course, thinking that we want to improve first of all our lives and the lives of our family, but the larger implications of our movements, we don't really take them into account until we realize that there's, like, I don't know, like a catastrophe is about to happen in the place that we left. I think I don't want to create some kind of fearscape around this migration system, but it is something that we should consciously think about, because at the rate that where it's going right now, the Philippines is basically going to lose majority of its trained doctors by around 2015. I don't have the exact units right now because we're still estimating how many doctors are retraining to become nurses, but this is a very serious problem from the side of the Philippines.
Will you be looking at the social implications of families that get separated?
At this point, I think I will not look at that area.
Yeah.
It's just that, for me, the family dynamics is another is another thesis. What I want to see is really the state, the dynamic between the states. And for me, it's very interesting to look at this issue, because most of the time when you talk about intergovernmental relations, you talk about relations between state entities. But the Canadian provinces are not states per se, they're non-state entities, they're provinces. So they're not governed by the same sort of rules of power that, say, an agreement between the U.S. and Canada has. So I think I'll be very much interested in looking at that, but also on a sort of a meso level, I'm interested in looking at the role of the recruiters themselves and making sure that the recruitment process is done ethically and done sustainably. Now, ethics and sustainability are very contested words. What does it mean to be ethical? I think in the process of doing this research, I will also think about that bigger word, ethics. What does it mean to benefit basically one country and another by ensuing this process? Because the elephant in the room actually is not Canada or the Philippines, it's the United States. I think I clarified it in my proposal that you will miss a lot if you don't look at this picture that tries to paint without taking into account the role of the U.S. Because most of the Philippine nurses that are going from the Philippines to Canada, most of them have sort of a plan in their heads. They want to go to the States eventually, or actively using Canada as sort of a platform so that they can gain access to the U.S. market where the salaries are higher. And most of the Canadian trained nurses are moving to the U.S. as well. We don't have ways of tracking the numbers precisely, but majority of nurses trained in Canada move to the U.S. for better salaries, better work conditions, and that's why we have a shortage in Canada, and that's why Canada is recruiting from countries like the Philippines. So it's a very interesting kind of cycle wherein the pressure point is the United States, but we don't get to pressure the U.S. to improve its policies because we don't have very good comparative studies of how the process works. So I guess at the end, one of my sort of broader aims is to sort of make a sort of more kind of structural comparative study between how the U.S. and Canada acts vis-a-vis the Philippines in this recruitment process.
What is the perception in every, you look at this in your, you'll be looking at this, I should say, in your work, the perception and everyday treatment of Filipinos and migrant workers in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What is that now?
I think currently, and this is something to do with the kind of research that has been done on the Filipinos in Canada, currently I think the national image, sort of Canadian national image of the Filipinos is that of the live-in caregiver, the domestic worker. I mean, and I'm not saying that it's not the one of the main ways for Filipinos to enter Canada, and I'm not even contesting that it shouldn't be, or I'm not even in the right position to actually comment on that. But since research has been primarily focused on that, so many Canadians, when they meet Filipinos, they assume right away that you're either a live-in caregiver yourself, and your son or your daughter of a live-in caregiver, therefore you were separated from your family for a long time, you're trying to reunite with your family when you arrive here. But there's other cohorts of Filipinos who are arriving in Canada, and I think my study will sort of, I don't even want to say change the perception of Canadians to Filipinos, because I'm sure most Canadians are aware that there are Canadians of Filipino ancestry or Philippine-trained nurses that are working in their hospitals, in different care units in Canada. But what I'm trying to say is that in the academic literature, at least, I want to sort of complicate the picture. There's a cohort of Filipinos coming here as live-in caregivers, but there are other cohorts of Filipinos coming here as professionals and skilled, so-called skilled workers. And it sort of, I think it will eventually, clarify both issues. Because when you think of it, some of the live-in caregivers who come to Canada, some of them were trained nurses in the Philippines. So this kind of study would give us a platform to rethink what kind of access some of those already here have to the Canadian healthcare system to become reintegrated into the system where they can get better wages.
Lawrence, congratulations on the scholarship. Yeah. You're very good to do this. I understand you're very busy, and thank you for indulging me in this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
It's important work that you're doing. Continue. Good luck with it. Mark Lawrence Santiago on the line. He's a 2009 Trudeau Scholar and a PhD student at the University of British Columbia. I'm Joseph Planta.